Good morning, everyone. This is Megan Tuttle, president for NEA New Hampshire. Welcome back to our podcast slash Tuttle Talks. This morning, we have Representative Chris Pappas with us. He is born and raised in Manchester, small business owner, community-driven leader with a record of addressing some of New Hampshire's most pressing challenges. Chris is a proud product of Manchester Public Schools. He's dedicated his time in public service to putting people before politics to deliver opportunities to families in every community across our state. After graduating from Harvard College in 2002, Chris returned to New Hampshire to help run his family's more than 100-year-old business, the Puritan Backroom Restaurant. You may or may not have been there. They have these chicken fingers, chicken tenders that people hear about all across the nation, actually. Prior to serving in Congress, Chris represented District 4 and the Executive New Hampshire Council. Currently, Chris is serving on the Veterans Affairs Committee, where he chairs the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, focused on holding the Department of Veterans Affairs accountable for providing the highest standard of care and services to our nation's veterans. He also serves on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, where he's working to deliver transformational investments in New Hampshire's roads, bridges, highways, airports, and rail systems. So, welcome, Chris. I'm so glad you could be here with us today.
Thanks, Megan.
And for our members. Tell our members why you're running again.
Well, thanks, Megan, for the opportunity to join you, but even more importantly, to be able to speak to the dedicated members of NEA New Hampshire. I appreciate so much what our educators and school professionals do all across our state. And I've had the opportunity to connect with many in my office in DC, but more so out around New Hampshire. And it's been a challenging few years all across the board. So I want to continue to hear your voices and ensure that you all feel like you have a seat at the table when it comes to policy making in Washington. I'll say this, you know, as someone who grew up here in New Hampshire, I see politics as a way to move our country forward, move our state forward, to make a difference in people's lives. And I think we have several important accomplishments that we want to talk about over the last 2 years. You know, at the beginning of this term, we were in the throes of the pandemic. The vaccine wasn't yet available. We passed the American Rescue Plan, which helped deliver shots in arms, ensured that we were providing the kind of direct support to our schools that was necessary to get them reopened. And to support the modernization of our school infrastructure and the procurement of new technology. Beyond that, we've worked on a bipartisan basis on a number of key initiatives, a major infrastructure program that's investing in not just our roads and bridges and water systems, but in high-speed broadband, closing that digital divide that's really important to address here in New Hampshire. And as a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee, I'm really proud of the way that we worked in a bipartisan fashion to provide care and benefits to 3.5 million veterans that have been exposed to toxic substances in burn pits and deserve everything from our government. And they're going to get the help they need as a result of the work that we've done. Some other things on workforce and supporting our small businesses that I'll mention include the CHIPS and Science Act. It's an investment in the National Science Foundation, in our workforce, as well as in our manufacturers here in New Hampshire and across the country. It's going to ensure that we're making more things here in the United States. And as we pair that with the infrastructure bill, this is really about how we can look down the road and set our country up for success for the future. There are going to be millions of good-paying jobs that are created as a result of these bills. Lots of focus on the trades and making sure that our young people have the skills they need to take advantage of these jobs. So there's work to do on that front, but I think this is an exciting moment. Clearly, we have to address the economic pressures that our families are facing right now. High inflation continues to result in higher costs at the pump, in terms of our electric rates, in terms of what people are paying at the grocery store. And so while we see a lot of attacks coming our way, we've been providing substantive solutions that have helped. We've seen gas prices continue to come down. We passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which takes on the issue of the high cost of healthcare and prescription drugs, and also ensures that people can adopt energy efficiency measures and save on their electric bills by taking advantage of rebates and tax credits that we passed. And so there's more work to do. And, you know, as part of my job in Congress, I want to bring the stories and the issues that are of concern to the people of New Hampshire down with me to Washington. And I hope to earn their trust for another 2 years.
So you just have a few things going on.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about the members having a seat at the table in Washington. I can attest to that whenever I'm down in D.C. for work we meet with your office. You're there, I'd say 99% of the time, unless you're out, you know, in Congress voting. So you definitely are open and welcoming to that. So we definitely appreciate that. As you know, our commissioner here in New Hampshire, Commissioner Edelblue, has been systematically dismantling public education, not even really being secret about it anymore. Much of what's happening here mirrors trends that are happening nationally for education. What can you do in Washington to help us defend public education here in New Hampshire?
That's an important value that I think folks here in New Hampshire understand and share. It's about supporting strong public schools. And unfortunately, we've seen leadership here at the top in New Hampshire continuing to work on this right-wing project to undermine confidence in our public schools and ultimately pull funding away from our public schools. And we know in New Hampshire how under-resourced many of our school districts are. And that was really evident during the pandemic when, you know, some schools had modern HVAC systems and laptops for all the kids. Some school districts struggled to be able to create that safe environment and ensure kids could continue to learn. So that's been on full display. And the more that the ideology of someone like Frank Edelblue succeeds, the more damage is done to public education in New Hampshire. I'm pleased to say that Betsy DeVos is no longer the Secretary of Education.
We love hearing that.
But I will say that, you know, the Department of Education provides important resources and programs that support our schools. I'm running against an opponent that wants to abolish the Federal Department of Education, among other cuts that she wants to make to critical federal programs, and the rolling back of some of the progress that we've made on a bipartisan basis on a variety of issues. So I think it's a time of great concern. There are ways that we can honor and support those that are in this profession and encourage more to go into it. We know that higher education is cost prohibitive for a lot of individuals and families right now. And making sure that folks can pursue their education, can get on a career path to become a teacher, become a school professional here in New Hampshire is really important. I want to expand loan forgiveness and tuition assistance programs that will allow people to get into critical fields like education, like nursing and other places where there's a deficit of folks that are pursuing it. And we also need to make sure that teacher pay is keeping pace with the times. Part of what we realized early on in the pandemic, and one of the reasons why we passed the American Rescue Plan, is there was so much strain on local budgets. And as we had seen in past recessions, there were deep cuts made to vital public services, including public safety and education. We helped stave that off by providing direct support to our municipalities and to our states that could keep budgets in place. But we've got to make sure that our you know, local school boards and local governments have the tools to support our teachers and reward those that are doing this important work.
So I know that sometimes our members will see a disconnect between things happening in New Hampshire for education versus things happening at the federal level and ask, how can, at the federal level, you do anything to help us here in the state? But I know one thing that we've chatted about before, the waiver for the free breakfast and the free meals at schools ended in June. And I know there's reauthorization happening at the federal level to expand that. You know, we all know that when kids come to school fed and their basic needs are met, they're definitely more ready to learn during the day. So that's something that you would be supporting to not just extend the waiver, but to potentially give free food to all children in schools. I mean, that was something that came out of the pandemic that we saw as a good thing, that everybody was getting meals during the day, whether yeah. they could or couldn't afford it, no matter the circumstances, everybody got it. So
it's something that worked. And look, no kid should go without a healthy meal or feel ashamed to take advantage of free and reduced lunch options that are out there. And ensuring that there are free meals that are provided to our kids is just really important. We know that 10% of families in New Hampshire experience food insecurity. It's higher in districts like Manchester, for instance. And so we've got to do everything we can to close that gap. And you know better than anyone else, if kids eat nutritious meals, if they're well fed, they're much more able to absorb the information that's coming at them in a classroom and participate socially in a learning environment. So that's really important to give them that kind of healthy start. So I'm a big proponent of that program, as well as things like SNAP and WIC that are really important to give kids a healthy start. I mean, I've also been a champion of universal pre-K and more affordable early childhood learning opportunities to make sure that you know, kids are getting that early start so that they're able to succeed and thrive and be on a path to success as they pursue their education.
So you went to school here in New Hampshire, graduated public schools, went, you know, did the all 12 years. And we do have some of the best educators in the nation here. You know that we always rank within the top five for education in New Hampshire, but we have lower pay than much of New England. And we have the new divisive concepts law, or banned concepts, that was put in last year. We almost had an educator loyalty oath on the books that went through. It got killed in the House Ed, but it it went through that far, and we know another one's going to be coming back this session. So what could you do to help our educators receive pay and respect that they deserve?
Yeah. Well, I've, you know, really looked forward to the meetings that I have with the teachers of the year that will come visit me in Washington. And there are so many teachers out there that deserve awards for the work that they do. And I think often of the ones that, you know, I came into contact with during my time going to Webster School here in Manchester, all the way through Central High, really terrific, dedicated educators who didn't just do their job in the classroom, but went well beyond to just being role models for their students, being involved in the life of the community. So we know that the job of our educators doesn't stop at the classroom door. They're so involved and engaged and helping to create the right environment for our kids to grow and thrive. So I think it's starting with a statement of value about what our teachers provide, and then showing that in terms of the priorities that we have. You know, I think if your priorities are supporting vouchers and supporting the abolishment of the Federal Department of Education, those priorities are in the wrong place for New Hampshire and where we need to go to honor the profession, make sure more are pursuing it, and make sure our teachers are well paid. Unfortunately, we're at a point where everything is becoming politicized all around us. And there's a political agenda that's at work to try to undermine confidence in public schools. And the hope for some on the far right is that we can get to a point where we're just abolishing public education altogether. As a democracy, our success hinges on the ability of people to have the tools to participate in every aspect of our economy and of our society. And so that's why public schools were created in the first place and why we need to continue to support them. So I'll do that not just in terms of, you know, what we need to do to honor our educators, but also in terms of funding and legislation that I support.
So it is an attack. I mean, it is an attack by the right wing, without a doubt. You know, poll after poll, study after study has shown that parents overwhelmingly support their local schools, their local teachers, their local educators. So, you know, where is it really? Where's the basis for all that? But you have an opponent in this race and you have some differing opinions on issues. Things like, you know, banning books in schools, divisive concepts, vouchers, the DOE, things like that. How do you differ? I mean, I can imagine, but if you want to, you know, add anything about how you differ from your opponent on things like on those issues.
Well, I think part of it comes down to trusting parents and educators and school professionals to be able to make decisions at a local level and not wanting to pass legislation federally that's imposing on those local choices. New Hampshire is a local control state, and I think that's where decisions are best made about curriculum, about school policy, and we certainly want parents to be engaged in that process. And in my conversations with teachers, no one has wanted more parental involvement than our educators in terms of their kids' education. So that happens in New Hampshire, and we need to continue to support that. And I think the political attacks on our schools, on our teachers, are really part of this project to undermine confidence in public education. So that's a difference. There are differences on a variety of issues. I think my opponent certainly likes the art of political performance. She's on a lot of the national podcasts and cable news shows. You don't see me there very often, but you'll probably find me in a community near you because I understand what this job is about. It's about listening to people more than talking It's about learning from what is going on here in New Hampshire and ensuring that that's influencing our policymaking in Washington and valuing what's special about New Hampshire. You know, we're a unique state. And I think one of the ways that we can best support our local school districts is by matching that local involvement and engagement with funding that's going to help move education into the 21st century.
Great. Anything you want to add as a message to our members?
Well, just a hearty thank you. I wouldn't be where I am today without my Manchester Public School education. I'm really proud of it. And I want to make sure that that door of opportunity is open to today's students and to future generations. And I, as I said before, I think that really the future of our democracy hinges on having strong public schools. So I'm just grateful for what our educators do. And I hope to continue to hear from them and see them out on the campaign trail and beyond in the coming months.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here today. Good luck. We all know elections matter. And so we're encouraging everyone, all our members, to get out and that are in your district to vote for you on in November. So thank you.
Thanks, Megan.